Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here on this gorgeous day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements to make. First, take your red pad, sign it, pass it down, have a record of your attendance. We would appreciate it. If you got any changes in phones or emails, you can put it on the I Wish card and get it to me. And I've got a couple to pass down the line to give you. Vacation Bible School coming up July the 14th through 18th at 6:30. I think they may still need helpers and teachers, but you can talk to BJ or Kathy about that. And you can read about the for repairs or church property repairs, fill out a form and place it in the box, and you can give it to Lynn or Jim and take care of that. Deacons meeting after church today in the library, and they're having an annual lemonade fellowship, so successful last summer, on July the 6th after worship service. So hope that you'll be able to stay that day and come for that. As you may have seen on TV or from me sending out in the valley and emails from our General Assembly, used to meet once a year, now it meets every 2 years. Part of it is to save money. And some organizations meet every 4 years. Well, our General Assembly, the way the Presbyterian Church works, we have our local church, then we have our presbytery, ours is called Pittsburgh Presbytery, then we have the synods, which are large in a regional organization, then the General Assembly, where elders and pastors, ruling and teaching elders, as we're now called, go every 2 years and vote on things. And most things are brought to back to presbyteries, 167 presbyteries, to vote on them before they go into constitutional law. So this meeting was in Detroit this year. So I'm going to try to highlight some of the things. And if anyone wants to talk to me about anything, feel free to call me. But I did send that link that you can follow, and you can go on and read more in depth about it if you would like to. Sent to committee, General Assembly voted to send back to committee to study fossil fuel disinvestment. The pension fund that the Presbyterian Church has, they, like any pension fund, invest in certain things, and there's a group that thinks that we should get out of any fossil fuel for Presbyterians to be divesting in because of what it does to our climate. Increasing per capita, 5 cents per year for the General Assembly, for 2000 and 2016, so over 2 years, that would go up 10 cents. And they're asking ministers to pay per capita. That's one thing that I've always done as a minister, is pay per capita and actually pay usually about double what the per capita is to try to help out. So they voted, and this has been very controversial. They tried to do it last time. Disinvestment in our pension fund from Caterpillar, Hewlett-Packard, and Motorola Solutions because of use of equipment in nonprofit business in Israel and Palestine. They think if we disinvest, we have, because they think some of these things are being used to over against the Arabs and tearing down houses and listening devices. So I'm not going to say what I feel on some of these things. I'm just going to put it out there. And because some of you are going to feel very to the right on some of these issues, some of you are going to feel right down the middle, and some of you go feel right far to the left on the issues. Even on a small congregation like this, I learned there's people with very diversified views. If I asked you to raise your hand, how many of you voted Republican and how many of you voted Democrat, you might be surprised at the differences that we see. And then some of you will vote Democrat for one person, Republican for another person. They sent a thing out saying they would like for the government to use due process when drones are used. And it's hard to break this all down in just a few minutes. That's why I say you can go on and read about it, or you can talk to me about it. Dissolved Hanme Presbytery, I may not be pronouncing that just right. It was a non-geographical presbytery that dealt with Korean Americans. They felt that they could handle themselves better, but now General Assembly has voted for where that church is, that they will join the presbytery that they're in. In other words, if there's a Korean Presbyterian in Pittsburgh Presbytery, they'll be a part of the Pittsburgh Presbytery instead of their non-geographical presbytery. Cut number of synods, that is our middle body, governing body, from 16 to 12, or it could go all the way down to 10 presbyteries. Reasons for that, church is shrinking because some churches are leaving. Our Presbyterian churches are getting older. We're not getting younger. And so it's a financial savings also. This is one that you have been seeing on the local and the national news. Pastors can marry same-sex couples in states where it is legal, only in states where it is legal. They do not have to, and then this goes to all 67 presbyteries for a final vote, and that will take a year. So a pastor, say, I'll just use Glenshaw, could, if they wanted to, and their session approved it, they'd have to go by session, could marry a same-sex couple. Then if Effenwild Presbyterian Church didn't want to, then their session could vote not to. So it'll be left up to the individual pastors and the individual sessions. Nobody will be forced to do something and against their conscience. And then the last one I'll talk about today is the Belhar Confession to be voted on in presbyteries. This is rooted in the struggle against apartheid from South Africa. And so I don't know if you followed very much. Like I say again, if anyone wants to talk to me about these, discuss it, please feel free to do so. And I'll do my best to enlighten you as best as I can. But it'd be good if you go on the website and read about it yourself and get a good understanding. Then we can have probably even better conversation. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn is "This Is the Day," and it's a scream song. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you because of your unconditional love. We praise you for calling us into a relationship with you. We are grateful for your sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven. Once again on this beautiful Sunday, let us unite in our faith with our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell.
Discombobulated this morning. Let's greet one another.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all? Good. Everybody get comfy.
Thank you, Suzanne. I think Art Linkletter would have approved of today. Children say the darndest things. Only in church. Okay. We're going to have a congregational hymn. This is going to be on PowerPoint, and you can remain seated for this.
Thank you.
Our responsive reading is Psalm 118, back of your hymnals on 712. 712, Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I will not die but live, and will proclaim that the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Let's read together. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This time I'd like to invite the elder on the door to come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a prayer request from Penny Erb for her son Stephen, that he continue with his positive treatment of his bipolar condition and that God remains by his side, and thanks God for continued help. Prayer request, wish I had paid attention, from BJ for her niece, prayers for Chanel and sons on the death of their husband and father this past week.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, because this is the day that you have made. And help us to rejoice within it, to put aside our worries and our fears, our anxieties, everything that we are concerned about for today and for the morrow and for the future. Remind us that our fears and our worries will never help us. They will only hinder us and hold us back. Remind us that you do care about the sparrow. You care about us. You have love and compassion and empathy. Nothing happens that you don't know about. Remind us that you never leave us and you never forsake us. We lift all these prayer requests to you this morning, listed in our bulletin, our Valley newsletter presented this morning. Many people have silent prayers. Prayers for their family and friends, things going on in our nation and around the world. We lift all these up to you. We believe that you created the world, that you didn't step away and abandon it. You're still here, looking out for it, giving us the presence of the Holy Spirit. You gave your son Jesus to die upon the cross and rise from the dead, that we might have life, life abundantly, even here upon this earth, and life eternal. So thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them according to your wisdom and your power, your love, your glory, and your might. And we thank you that Jesus left us with this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation will be a screen song, Forever.
things that we bypass and don't think about almost on a daily basis because we get caught up with the cares of the world. But we thank you for the Holy Spirit that has come to empower us, to encourage us, to help us, to allow us to use the gifts that you have given to us to help ourselves and to help others find Christ and find a sense of peace. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be just and righteous. Help us to be a giving and a loving people. Thank you for every person that uses the gifts that you have given to them. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen.
Thank Paul for being our scripture reader for the day. Remind people they can sign up. I think there's still a sheet at the back. We'd love to have many variety of people to read, so.
Good morning. I was telling Leonard earlier that I was going to email him on Monday to send a long one. 3-4 pages because this was the Sunday that Jen was going to do it. So her schedule changed about halfway through the week, so I'm glad I never reached out to you. There's a valuable lesson there. So please listen to the reading and interpret how you would interpret. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who killed the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Bless the reading and hearing of this scripture.
Don Friesen tells a very, very fascinating story about a sparrow that somehow got into the rafters of St. Helen's Church in an English town of Brant Burton. At the time of the intrusion, they were recording a guitar recital for a later broadcast on the radio, and the chirping bird didn't exactly go with the beat. So the Reverend Robin Clark asked the congregation to leave and then asked a friend to bring down a pellet gun to the church and shoot the intruding sparrow. Now the killing of the sparrow became front page news in the Great Britain in the London Daily Telegraph, and it ran a clever headline that said, Reverend Robin orders death of sparrow. Editorials and letter to the editor chastising the cruel and unusual punishment of this lowly bird. People who hadn't darkened the doors of the church in a decade remembered Psalm 84, in which it declared that even sparrows are welcomed in the house of the Lord. Is there any passage in the scriptures that is more reassuring than this passage? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside the Father's care? And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than any sparrows. This passage is basically talking about the disciples. They're going to be going out and proclaiming the gospel. So don't worry. Shout it from the housetop. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them the gospel. Tell them who God is. Don't worry about your life or the cares for tomorrow. Just do what you're called to do. But I want to look at it in a little broader perspective this morning. Some unknown author has put it like this about the sparrow. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I really like to know why these anxious human creatures rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I guess that it must be that they have no father such as cares for you and me." Another poet put it like this, "If God sees the sparrows fall, paints the lily short and tall, gives the skies the azure hue, will he not care for you?" Joni Erickson Tada, many of you know her, the writer who praises God even though years ago she was injured seriously in a diving accident and was a quadriplegic. She writes, "I glanced at the bird feeder and smiled. I could understand Jesus noticing if an eagle or a falcon or a hawk fell to the ground. Those are the important birds that God created, birds that are worth attending to, noticing. But a scrappy sparrow? Yet from thousands of bird species, the Lord chose the most insignificant, least noticed, scrappiest bird of all. A pint-sized thing that even dedicated bird watchers ignore. That thought alone calmed my fears. I felt significant and I felt noticed. Because if God takes care of each humble sparrow, who they are, where they are, what they are doing, I know that God keeps tabs on me." Sparrows are humble birds. They were true in Bible times also. Sparrows were considered food for the poor. And because they were so cheap, the poor could afford to offer them in sacrifice to the Lord if they couldn't afford a lamb or a goat or a bull. You could buy two sparrows for a penny. Hal Rhodes says that a sparrow is about as worthless as a bird can get. They are dirty, usually have fleas, and they reproduce abundantly. They have no song, they're not colorful, and they're not pretty. Sparrows are some of the most plentiful common birds in the world, notes David Dykes. Where you find people, you'll find sparrows. They only live in populated areas because they are scavengers of leftovers. Concerning Jesus' choice of sparrows as an example of God's watchfulness, Dyke writes, "Sparrows were cheap and common. It would make better sense if Jesus had said, God knows where every eagle falls because eagles are such majestic birds. But Jesus was making a point that God cares for the most common, unnoticed birds. Naturalists tell us that there are approximately 35,000 bald eagles in the United States and Canada. But who cares to count to see how many sparrows there are? God sees a sparrow fall. Jesus is saying to us that whatever trial we may be going through, God is aware and God cares about you and your need. The Master says, "Not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of the Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered, so do not be afraid." I don't know about you, but I spend too much time being afraid. I may not be conscious that it's fear that is driving me at times. I may simply call it worry or anxiety or concern or restless mind. But at heart, it is fear. Don't raise your hand, but is there anybody in this room who has fear this morning? Anyone who is anxious or spending too much time in worry? It's a really wonderful scene in the 1980 comedy Airplane, a classic. An elderly lady, a passenger sitting next to the character Ted Stryker, as the plane is about to take off. The lady asks him, "Nervous?" Stryker answers, "Yes." Thinking this might be his first flight, the lady asks, "First time?" Stryker answers, "No, I've been nervous plenty of times before." It reminds me of another story about a very nervous airline passenger years ago who began pacing the terminal during bad weather, lightning storms going off. During his walk, he ran across one of those machines. Remember my first flight, I saw one in the airport where you could put in $3 and you could get $100,000 worth of flight insurance. So if you crashed, your family, whoever you left it to, would have some money. Just $3 for $100,000. So the man looked out the window and the threatening clouds and the lightning storms and thinking about his family at home. So he decided that he would purchase such a policy. So he took his $3, got his policy. Then he decided in the airport he needed something to eat, so he looked around at airport restaurants and he found his favorite food, Chinese. He was all relaxed, having a good time, had his meal. Then they brought him the fortune cookie. Opened up the fortune cookie, being very positive, the fortune cookie said, "Your recent investment will pay big dividends." I don't think I would have got on that flight. What is it that makes us worry so much about things that will probably never happen? We've all done it. Worried, fretted, cried, beat our heads against a wall, and it never, ever even came to pass. What or who can free us from our baggage of fear? Dr. Charles Mayo, the Mayo Clinic, said he believes that worry, that there's a growing mountain of evidence that worry is may be the chief contributor to depression, nervous breakdowns, high blood pressure, heart attacks, and early death. And he says that stress kills. He goes on to say, "I've never known a person to die from hard work, but I've known a lot of people to die from worry." I think that can be true. If Christ wants to set us free from all of our fears, whatever they may be, he does in this passage that remind us that we have a loving, caring Father who is always with us, always mindful of our needs, always willing to grant us his peace and his joy. His eye is on the sparrow. God has such an intimate knowledge of us that he knows every hair upon our heads. You may think that you are alone as you face the problems that you go through on a daily basis, but you are not alone. God is with you. God has not created the world and gone away and then going to come back to see what happened one day to his creation. I refuse to believe that. There's one who is even closer to us than the very air that we breathe. He knows our needs. He cares for us. We are his children. Such an awareness of the unconditional love of God should give us an enormous sense of freedom about living our lives on a daily basis. We should be able to live joyfully, able to live peacefully, as if we have not a care in the world, like a little child on the playground. The ultimate freedom in life comes from trusting your life to God. The message of the gospel is that we need not fear life. We need not fear death. We need not fear tomorrow. We need not fear today. We can live faith-filled lives, lives bolstered by our knowledge of God's love for us and God's presence always with us. And this is the secret, I believe, of achieving great things for God. We operate best in the world when our lives are built on a solid rock of confidence that behind the world is a creator who watches over us and will never leave us and never forsake us. Christ wants us to believe in an omnipotent God who sees every sparrow and counts every hair. If we must have even the smallest amount of faith, faith like a grain of mustard seed, then we can move mountains and great things can be done. See, faith is not something we earn. It's a free gift from our Heavenly Father. The best things, as the old proverb says, are free. And you can't put a price on love or health or friendship. However, there is a sense in which we can earn them, because to have a friend, it said, you need to be a friend. Health is not attained by being a couch potato. We have to get up. We have to walk or run or lift or Pilates. Have to change our diets and our habits. Do something to help our health. But faith is a pure, free gift. And the only way you can receive it is to open yourself up to it. And a simple prayer will do. Perhaps the prayer uttered by a man whose son was having convulsions in the Bible. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus' disciples were powerless to help him. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" The distraught father answered, "From childhood. If you can do anything," he pleaded, "have compassion on us. Help us, please." And Jesus said to him, "All things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Your life, your family's life is in turmoil. Fear keeps you awake at night. And if only you could believe in a God who watches out for the sparrow. If only you could put your trust and your faith in that God. So you pray with complete sincerity. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." That is a prayer I believe God will answer for each and every one of us. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. My friends, believe. Do not be afraid. God loves you. Amen. Our closing hymn, "God Will Take Care of You," is not on page 7. It is on page 47. Page 47, "God Will Take Care of You."
able to.